So welcome to podcast Pildroid episode 84. My name is Russell and I'm in Wrexham, off on the road, and I'm in Tŷ Pawb, which for people who don't know the town or know this particular facility, it's a fairly new, I think quite bold, quite brave cultural art space in one of the old markets. Wrexham is a market town that I think people tend to forget and overlook. They've converted into something more of a modern, like I said, art space. And there's a sort of like a food court, different stores, got a real cool independent vibe. I've got a lot of time for it. But specifically, I'm in an old, I'm not sure if it's renovated, refurbished or built to the specification. It's sort of like an old traditional gypsy style caravan that is the home all of the week, most of the week, of Liam Stokes Massey. Oh, how are you?
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And this is where you hide out?
This is where I hide out, yeah.
And the reason we're here, and this is a bit of a challenge now, because you're immersed and spend most of your time in a visual medium, mm-hmm. and we now need to convey that visual medium in an audio medium.
Okie doke.
But we'll do our best. People are probably more familiar with your work than they are perhaps with your name, is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say so. So my name's Liam Stokes Massey, but on all social media platforms, down as Pencil Craftsman. So yeah, it's served me well so far, so I'll stick with it, I think.
And what I know about art, you can write on the back of a fag packet or even a matchbox. So I'm not going to claim that you're some sort of, yeah, I'm going to put sort of schools or different disciplines onto your craft and your art, other than to say they're bloody good.
Oh,
and when it comes to me and drawing, I'm stick man like level, and I can see some of your other kind of drafts and some of the maybe stuff at a more sort of formative stage. And yeah, there's some cars I can see there, and they're absolutely incredible. And
you
are a talented man, so I want to get that
appreciate
on record.
It. Cheers.
But specifically, and the relevance to the podcast about the Welsh mm-hmm. football team,
yeah,
is the fact that people, as I said, who would be familiar with your work will be some of the drawings you've done of people like Jess Fishlock and Gary Speed, and there's like a kind of like a collage version with Ethan Ampadu and Tyler Roberts, Harry Wilson, a couple of the other young Tyros. But you do other drawings as well. Is that David Beckham?
Yeah, that was.
I'll edit this bit out.
That was going to be like class of 92.
Okay, yeah.
But I struggled. I left the Neville brothers till last, and I, for the life of me, I can't fit them in anywhere. So I might just. I don't know if that's just going to be one that just falls by the wayside, or I'll go back to it and just leave the Nevilles out and finish Giggsy's chin. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what do people need to know about you?
My full time job is, as an artist, is commissions. So most of the time you'll find me drawing dogs, people's kids, their families. Occasionally I'll get something like cars, for example. I'm really busy with it at the moment, which is great, but the stuff that really floats my boat is obviously football.
Yeah.
So if I get a bit, you know, if I need a break from doing the commission work, I can switch to football stuff. It's only a recent thing, to be fair. The past maybe year, my first foray into like football stuff was the Gareth Bale drawing I did for Euro 2016, and it was basically the morning of the first game against Slovakia. I was like, right, I'm just gonna do a drawing of Gareth Bale. Didn't have any intentions of selling it or anything like that, and then done it. So it was basically a drawing with Gareth doing the heart symbol over the Welsh badge.
Yeah.
So then I painted the Welsh badge, so it was just red on grayscale. And it really popped, and then posted it on Facebook, went to watch the match, made it just in time, came back, and it just went. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that was the busiest summer I've ever had. I think I'd sold maybe 200 of them,
wow.
But and each one was hand painted. With each one, I drew like and painted a small version of the Welsh badge.
Mm.
So it was just crazy, and loved every second of it. And then since then, just kind of doing more of the portraiture kind of thing. So I guess that started about a year ago, or just under a year ago. I got married, went to Denmark on a honeymoon, and then started experimenting, and I did a drawing of Laudrup, Schmeichel and Ericsson, so Danish legends, and in the same collage style as the Welsh ones, and then that's just kind of took off a little bit. Really enjoyed doing it, so probably stick with that for a little
bit. So huge in Denmark, like a dodgy metal band.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Clearly incredibly talented, but have you been taught? Have you, you know, is there a bit more of a discipline there than just raw talent through college or whatever?
No, it started off as a hobby probably about 10 years ago now, and then just gradually over time, you know, you just kind of, you just get better, as with anything. But then you notice that your eyes get sharper. A lot of stuff I do, pretty much everything I do, I draw from photographs. So once your drawing's finished, you can compare it with the photograph, and then just basically over time, my drawings have started to look a bit more like the photograph, basically. There probably should be a lot more discipline, because I think I just go a bit gung-ho and see what the end product's like. I could probably definitely be taught a few things, I think.
There's a footballer metaphor there, in some Bale goes off on some sort of amazing run, and you're not quite sure where it's going to lead to, but it could be quite amazing at the end.
Yeah, that's it. And when it comes off, it's a really good feeling.
The Jess Fislock one, which I'm looking at now, is
Cheers.
If I was to pick, as we were prepping up, I made reference to Ethan Ampadu. Big Nev as well, because that's a famous picture of Nev as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's kind of staring almost through the cameraman, the woman, through, you know, through the crowd, through the stadium wall. He's just complete focus, isn't it, that picture? It's quite a famous people. If I tweet something out about it in a bit, people will know the photo from the picture, I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty good. But I think if I was going to, imagine, I'm seeing that, and the Bale one's brilliant as well.
Cheers.
I was going to say Fishlock, I think, is the best, but I guess it's because you don't see images of her as often, even though she's probably the most high-profile women's player.
Yeah. I think with the Jess Fishlock one, because that was made for Footbalka, which was the previous exhibition here at TPOW, but you know, featured work from loads of different artists, and I'd been asked to put some work in. I'd already done the one with Bale and Speedo and Southall and the Ampadu Harry Wilson one, so that those two were ready to go, but I thought Jess Fishlock would be a good one to do.
So are you able to share a bit more of the story in relation to that one or not?
Yeah. So there's another art space in Wrexham. It's more of a grassrootsy type place called Indegeen, and that's where I was based before I moved here to Te Pauwb. And I am a bit of a football shirt fanatic, and I asked the organisers or the people who ran Indegeen about a year ago if they'd be happy to put on a football shirt, an art exhibition, which thankfully they went with. So it was up to me to kind of source the shirts and the artwork, and I thought, obviously, with the profile of the women's game getting bigger, it would be ace to have something to represent women's football on the exhibition. So I got in touch with Jess Fishlock, and she very generously gave us a shirt that she'd worn and signed it for us.
A whale shirt.
So when I'd done the drawing, as most artists do nowadays, they'll tag away and, you know, tag the people in it. She saw it, loved it. She said, "Oh, I love that." And then obviously I said, "Oh, well, you know, as you gave us a shirt, I'll just send it to you as a thank you, basically." So yeah, that's shortly on its way to Jess. I think she's in America at the
Seattle
moment.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's injured, isn't she? So
yes.
That's the injured ball accounts. Footbalka, obviously, exhibited there. You talk about the football shirts. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is in the XMA, you want to come into Te Pauwb, just elevate your eyes above some of the food outlets, and there's probably
about 200.
200 different football shirts, club, international, all sorts. Are they all yours?
Save for maybe 6 or 7. So yeah, when I first moved into Te Pauwb, into the Shepherd's Hut, they were just in boxes under my drawing board.
Right.
And then one of the people who runs one of the food outlets here just said, "Why don't you just stick them up on the wall?" So I asked the guys who run Te Pauwb. They were well up for it. So yeah, and I think it looks pretty good.
Because there's a parallel there, isn't it? Like, with how I think things are happening in the fan scene with Wales, you know, the Red Wall, etc.
Yeah.
But also I think with Te Pauwb, where there's a basic framework in place, there's a basic structure in place, mm-hmm. and as far as I can tell, and you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've spoken to a couple of people around here. It's very much around, okay, people make use of the space.
Yeah.
Within certain parameters, clearly. Mm-hmm. But actually, they want people to have a bit more of a stake in it, to have a sense of ownership, to contribute, to create, to shape, design different aspects of it, which is obviously what you're doing with the football shirts, which is great. And probably is, you know, a talking point in and of itself. It's quite a diverse space as well. There's different languages I've heard, sort of Polish being spoken, other sort of Eastern European languages. I've heard Welsh spoken, English clearly. So it feels like a vibrant thing. But also, I guess the parallel that strikes me with the Red Wall is that, again, there's that, there's games, there's qualifying campaigns, there's a certain calendar. Mm-hmm. But actually within that, the FAW, other kind of, you know, mainstream media perhaps, I hate to use the phrase because it gets polluted by kind of, you know, populist nonsense, but, you know, the professional media then.
Yeah.
They do their bit, they do their thing, but actually where people have tried to do podcasts, where they're doing their own art, expressing and exhibiting their creativity in different ways, but actually people are just given kind of that encouragement and that broad kind of license to crack on and do it, which I think is interesting. And, like, you know, I'm thinking we've done a little bit of music, and we've done kind of the heritage and history side around some museums, football collection that's at Wrexham Museum, of course. Mm-hmm. We've done the history of things like the shirts, we shake you with some shake shaft, and now we're doing a more of a visual media. I just think it kind of represents that broad church that the sort of the Red Wall has kind of become, I guess, which is great.
Nice.
You're becoming a little bit of a focal point as well, because somebody just rocked up the other day and just dumped a load of programmes on you.
Yeah, well, they actually dropped them at the front desk. So the Footbalker exhibition was still going on, but I think it was in its last week. But they didn't know that. They just dropped them in, thinking it'd tie in well with the exhibition. But with the exhibition coming to an end, they'd rather not tinker with it so late on. So I've got them now with the intent to take them up to the museum when I get time. But there's some absolute gems.
Well, as a little leaf through, they're not just random. I mean, there's one or two, but there's Welsh Cup semi-final, Cardiff City versus Oswald Street from 1956.
Yeah.
As well, Austria, the race course, 1975. There's an under-23 Wales-England game.
Yeah, there's
really famous Wrexham Blythe Spartans is a famous cup game. Wrexham versus Magdeburg, which is a famous game. Important fixtures, some of these.
Yeah,
There's one that's got a dedication to the Gresford Colliery disaster. I think it was a game against Luton, I think. And there's a random rugby one that's popped in there. There's an England-Spain from 1960 programme in here.
That's a good one.
Liverpool-Manchester United, FA Cup 77 final. Cup final. So there's actually quite important sort of programmes, if programmes are the sort of thing that puts lead in the pencil, and very much does mine.
They are the kind of thing that belong with the museum, I think, to be fair.
Yeah. Wales-Sweden was the Wales international one, isn't it?
That's it,
The friendly back in 94.
Yeah, that's great.
Whenever we get our guests on and we ask them what's one of their earliest or their earliest memory of the national team, what would it be for yourself?
As I said to you before, like when I was born in 86, I didn't really get into football till the early 90s, but my stepdad and my mum were both huge United fans, so I just had United drilled into me. The concept of international football wasn't really a thing for me until a bit later on. And for my 9th birthday, I got a Wales shirt, which incidentally, I think when I got up on the morning of my birthday, I think my mum and stepdad had got like a huge cardboard cutout of Ryan Giggs and put the shirt on it, which is, you know, pretty cool. As a 9-year-old, but yeah, it was the... Yeah, we checked earlier, it was a 95-96 away shirt, which, like you said, it's one that divides opinion, isn't it? It's not. It's like a Marmite shirt.
Yeah, it's just the sort of the petrol green, I believe, is the phrase. We wore it against Lake Norrie when we lost.
Oh, God.
And we wore it at home for, I think, the game against Moldova. I'm struggling with memory-wise here. I'm not overly fussed. But if it's your first shirt, it's your first shirt.
Yeah, it'll always be special, won't it?
And Ryan Giggs came around the house to...
Yeah, exactly.
To give it to you as well. So I get that. As a formative, as a young kind of 9-year-old,
definitely.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, I'm going to make an assumption. You've mentioned United, Wales, that era. Mm-hmm. Giggs is probably then the hero.
Yeah, I think he was, because I was lucky enough to get into football in the early 90s, when obviously that's, as a United fan, that's when the glory started.
Hence the class of 92.
Yeah, well, funnily enough as well, I've actually... I was asked to do a piece for a football festival called Jumpers for Goalposts, which is happening in London the weekend at the Printworks. They put together an exhibition called My First Football in Memory, so there's some amazing artists involved, like Stanley Chow, Phil Galloway, so it's really cool to be kind of a part of something with those guys. But my first football in memory was watching the United season review video. So the year they first won the Premiership, like 92, 93, that's obviously Giggsy's breakout year. So I've done a big, I don't even know how big it is, it's for a drawing, it's pretty huge. Like a collage, much like the ones I've already done, but of that United team.
Right.
Or like the most used 11, if you like. So I can always remember just getting dead excited when Giggsy was on the ball. Because I remember there was a couple of goals. I think he scored one against Tottenham where he took, I can't remember who it was now, took someone on, then put it through someone's legs, and then took it around the keeper, and then, oh, it's amazing.
Giggs. Still Giggs. Beautiful. Brilliantly done. Right on the stroke of half-time. A goal taken with real class. Inside the challenge of Austin, who maybe hadn't recovered, away from the goalkeeper. Nothing was going to stop him. Goalkeeper did all he could. The finish was exquisite.
Getting giddy thinking about it.
Yeah. And his first few World Caps, he was just, you know, breath of fresh air. You know, it was exciting. It was edge of the seat stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's where, you know, I can't say, but I fall in the camp where we go. But it never stayed on that trajectory.
Yeah,
the odd glimpse here and there, but actually, I was frustrated and failed to deliver on the whole. But there's also a whole host of reasons and factors for that, which I get as well. And some of those were to do with United.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those were to do with the Wales setup at the time. I think any player, no matter how gifted, Bale would struggle to impose himself on that era of the Welsh team that was tactically, frankly, clueless for the best part. Was you know, incredibly poorly prepared for international football. So I like to think I always tend to caution with criticism a little bit.
Yeah,
I am worried that your mum's cardboard cutout of Giggs has actually found its way into the changing rooms of the last couple of Wales games and has tried to deliver the team talk. That's my worry. So I mean, if you're going to take the cardboard cutout, that would just put my mind at ease a little bit.
Because I never actually thought, because it just came back to me then, and I wonder what actually happened to that.
It might actually have been Ryan, and it's hard to perhaps tell.
that's a good point. Yeah.
No, that's overly harsh. I'll let you crack on.
Cheers, man.
Best of luck with the Jumpers for Goalposts exhibition down in London. Sounds like a big deal. Am I allowed to mention your to-do list? Because there's four really important names, one of which has been ticked off.
Yeah.
That spans pretty. You know, that spans, you know, almost a century of football. So that's coming up next for you, then, is it?
Well, that was actually for the museum,
okay.
It's to tie in with the current football exhibition.
Yeah.
So I was doing a series of cards for them. I am doing a series of cards for them. So I've just got. I think they're all done. I've had to swap Kenrick for Gary Speed because I couldn't find a good picture.
What
would it be in, like, the turn of the century?
That'd be Llewellyn Kenrick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Involved in the formation of the FAW and codifying the game, etc.
Yeah.
Mike England.
Uh huh.
Yeah. North Wales boy.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes, or North Wales boy. I'm sensing
a
thing.
Well, I don't know, because that was actually their choices, the museum's choices. I mean, I'm happy with that. I mean, obviously Sparky being... Because I was actually in school with his godson.
Okay.
We were best mates when we were younger.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a Rabban, I think.
Rabban, yeah.
It's not too, really.
It's a bit of a good claim to have, isn't it? Yeah. Godfather's one
of the
hardest footballers around.
Funnily enough, like, that exhibition that I mentioned earlier in the game, so my mate's dad brought in one of his Barcelona shirts.
Wow.
Yeah, so we... My mate's dad had one, and then... His brother had one as well, so both a 9 and a 10.
Because there can't be too many of those knocking around, because he wasn't there that long.
No.
I mean, do you get... Sorry, questions popped into my head.
Do you
get much... I mean, obviously, Jess Fishlock is getting her picture, so that's about as good a feedback as you get. I mean, do you get much... Or have you had feedback from players?
Kind of. When you put stuff on social media and you tag people, it's such a good feeling when you get, like, a like off one of them. So I've had... Off the top of my head, David Brooks has. I think maybe Tom Lawrence. But then the big one was Gareth Bale. So the drawing that I mentioned earlier with him doing the heart shape around the badge, the guy who bought the original drawing is from down Cardiff, and he knows his in-laws.
Right.
So he said, like, oh, when you send down a print as well, and I'll see if I can get it signed for you. And it's like, oh, all right, then, fair enough, that's a good shout. And then sent it down, months went by without a peep. I just slipped out my mind, didn't think anything of it. And then one night in October or November, I was in the kitchen in my house, message comes through, and it's a picture of Gareth Bale holding the print. Wow. Massive smile on his face. Sent it back, signed it to Liam from Gareth Bale.
Terrific.
Happy days. Prized possession, that, I think.
The
provenance of, like, you know, having him holding it as picture. Yeah. Amazing feeling.
I said best luck with the Jumpers for Goalposts exhibition, stuff at the Rex Museum. Obviously, there isn't, I just haven't got around there yet, but I'm hoping to get around there. And with the ongoing endeavours, because it deserves to succeed by whatever measure or metric success is measured by artistic people like yourselves, whether it's with lots and lots of money or lots and lots of pictures of footballers saying thanks or whatever else it might be.
Either or.
Because they're terrific. So give your channels a plug one last time if people want to kind of get in touch or they're interested in investing in good quality art.
Thank you. You know, most social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, that you can find me under Pencil Craftsman. And then I've actually got a shop on a website called Etsy as well, so still need to put some stock on there, but yeah, hit me up, see if you like anything.
And at the very least, if you're passing Tea Pub, call in,
stick your head in.
It's the shepherd's hut.
Yeah, that's it.
It's you can't miss it, really, can you?
No, it's a massive caravan.
There's
loads of
drawings outside. There's kids clambering at the door. We've been left in peace, actually. I was worried whether we were going to be or not.
Surprised by that, really.
There's also Harry Kane, and who else have we got? Messi and Stevie G, Mo Salah. So yeah, so there's stuff. There's quite a broad canvas. Pardon the pun. Of characters and players that people can choose from. So whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, let's keep it varied.
Cheers.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. La, 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 la.